Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Annie Fry Show YouTube live chat poll of the day is sponsored by Ruler Foods. Low prices, no coupons. Ruler Foods.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Kith. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Well, happy tax day. Everybody feels real joyful today, don't you? It's that dreaded April 15th, and the money that you owe Uncle Sam has to be paid by today. I wonder if any of you are scrambling at the last minute. How many of you do it by yourselves or have, especially let's talk about the lawyers and the accountants and all the people who have to have spent the last 3.5 months at work at all waking hours trying to get taxes done. Tomorrow is going to be a great day for them. Well, it'll be past the hubbub of the tax season. We know that we have to pay taxes. There are purposes for taxes. There are wastes of taxes. One of my favorite things that Rand Paul puts out is he puts out that waste report. Doesn't he do that on Festivus?
Festivus, yeah.
It's like airing of grievances. Yep. Rand Paul will go out and he'll tell you all of the useless things that your taxpayer dollars are being spent on. It really is aggravating to see how all of these things can get stuffed into one bill and you listen to the Nancy Pelosi's of the world. We have to pass the bill so that we can see what's in it. I'm going to say this in a way that's probably going to hit wrong, but I'm going to say it anyway. We've probably been too hard on Nancy Pelosi for saying we have to pass the bill so that we can see what's in it, because she just said it out loud. It's not as if there aren't Democrats and Republicans alike that are passing bills, voting in favor of bills that they haven't read in completion. How could they possibly read the bills in completion? They don't have the bills with enough heads up in advance to be able to do that. And then they come together as a caucus and, you know, make the determination. We're going to vote for this. We're going to vote against it. It's hard to think about how we're going to get back to some semblance of sanity from where we are right now, where the government is so big and so massive that the position of a single congressperson to have to read a whole bill and know top to bottom what somebody's stuck on page 863 and how that's going to affect one thing or the other, It really shouldn't be up to Rand Paul on Festivus to air those grievances for us to then find out, oh, we're legitimately paying for shrimps on treadmill or whatever. That's the one that I can't ever get over. And then there were videos of it, of the little shrimpies running on the treadmills or whatever. I can't even remember what it was studying. We also can't get past the idea that Joe Biden was saying in the State of the Union that we had a cancer vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember this?
Yes, I remember that.
It's my recollection that he said that in a different State of the Union as well.
I know.
It only comes up then.
I know that he said, like, he was supposed to be the one that was, he was the cancer czar or whatever under Obama. It was his job to cure cancer. And he didn't. But now, like,
or did
we
he?
Have a vaccine?
Here's from this year, March.
The pandemic no longer controls our lives. The vaccines that saved us from COVID are now being used to beat cancer, turning setback into comeback. That's what America does.
Don't bury the lead, dude. You got a vaccine for cancer on the horizon. That's like front page of story of the year stuff. But we only hear it when the bully pulpit is enacted and you have the opportunity to stand up there and say whatever you need to say. I can't get over, again, the energy that he had in that speech and the lack of energy that he has in all other circumstances. I really believe that it should be public information if he has to be given medicines in order to get through that speech. Here's what President Joe Biden said last Wednesday. And this is a very political statement, of course, but this is from last week when the president was speaking from the Rose Garden.
We have dramatically reduced inflation from 9% down to close to 3%. We're in a situation where we're better situated than we were when we took office, where inflation was skyrocketing. And we have a plan to deal with it, whereas the opposition, my opposition, talks about two things. They just want to cut taxes for the wealthy and raise taxes on other people. And so I think they have no plan. Our plan is one I think is still sustainable.
So President Biden speaking in the Rose Garden, saying, championing the Biden administration's record on inflation and saying, you like that other guy? And he's going to lower taxes on the wealthy and then raise them on the other people. I guess that's supposed to be like you and me. What if we could speak to somebody who's advising Donald Trump on economics about this very issue? Oh, Steve Moore, there he is. Great to have him on the show. He's a distinguished fellow in economics at Heritage, as well as a Trump economic advisor. You had to fall out of your chair when you heard, or maybe you're used to it by now, Joe Biden make those claims.
Well, I did, and good to be with you, Annie. And when I heard that, I thought, is there anybody in America who really actually believes that? Is there anybody who thinks actually Trump is going to raise their taxes and Biden's going to cut them? Biden has been one of the champion tax increasers of all time. And incidentally, he has told the American people what he's going to do if he's reelected, God forbid. He's going to raise tax on investment. He wants to double the capital gains tax. He wants to raise taxes on investments, dividends. He wants to reinstate massive death tax, which I think is one of the most evil taxes ever. And look, I guess what I would say is, if you're someone who actually believes that you can make the economy grow faster and fight inflation by raising taxes, then you probably should vote for Joe Biden, because that's what he's going to do. But I guarantee you that Donald Trump is not going to be raising taxes. We have a plan to make our tax cuts permanent, you know, and because when we cut the taxes on, and not just corporations, we did that because we wanted to make sure that that job stayed here in the United States, but also don't forget small businesses, the men and women who run the businesses that employ over half the people, they got a 20% reduction on their taxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're speaking with Steve Moore right now. I think about what Joe Biden can say in front of a media that won't question him on it, won't do all the Pinocchios and everything and make a big deal out of it, as they would if Donald Trump was up there in front of the microphone. It is tax day today. Not really an exciting day for a lot of Americans, but I wanted to give you the opportunity to talk about taxes. Just your philosophy, Steve Moore, on the whole, about an American's duty to pay into a general pot for maybe things like national defense or infrastructure, roads and stuff. What's your philosophy on a good tax versus a bad tax?
So sorry, I'm in Manhattan today, and a big bus just went by.
That's okay. That's all right.
Can you hear me? Okay.
Yep. So, we can hear you.
Okay. Can I start with a joke?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Okay. What is the difference between a taxidermist and a tax collector?
I'm afraid to know. What? Tell us.
The taxidermist only takes your skin.
Fair. Okay. All right.
Anyway, so it is tax day, and I'll tell you another, just how bad things are. I'll tell you kind of a personal story, which is that, you know, you may recall that I was nominated by Donald Trump to be on the Fed.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happened, everybody started checking my tax returns, you know, because that's what they do if you're up for a federal, you know, position. And so the IRS had, we had a lien we had a tax lien of $50,000. And we'd been fighting the IRS for literally 2 years. Mm. And, you know, we said, no, you owe us money. We don't owe you money. I bet a lot of people listening to this can relate to this. So what happened is after the whole fight of the Federal Reserve Board was over and I did not make it through the process, you know, we about 2 weeks later, we got a check from the IRS saying, oh, whoops-a-daisy, we made a mistake. You know, you're right, we owed you money. And, you know, I'm like, oh, good, where do I get my reputation?
Sure.
you know, they froze. By the way, did you know the IRS can freeze your wages? They can garnish your wages. They have an unbelievable power. And anybody who's fought the IRS, and I bet about half your listeners mm-hmm. have, know it is. It's about as much fun as having your wisdom teeth pulled. And so why are we hiring 80,000 new IRS agents?
Right. Yeah, it seems as though if you've got that power and you've got added the manpower to the authority that they're given, that's very threatening to the American people.
Well, see, this is the thing. This is my favorite time of the season to talk about one of my favorite ideas, which is the flat tax. I mean, why can't we have a postcard return? Very simple. Everybody pays 18 or 19%. You know, you get a deduction for yourself and your kids, but you don't get, you know, tax deductions for investing in windmills and bull sperm and, you know, all the racetracks and things like that. And it's really simple and you can fill it out in 15 minutes and it's fair. Everybody pays the same share of tax. Why can't we do that?
Tell us, why won't they do that? What's politically advantageous?
I'll answer my own question.
Yeah.
Because the tax code is the epicenter of power in Washington. What Washington does and the politicians is they buy and sell tax favors.
So you surrender that to a postcard tax return to fill out, then you surrender the power. Nobody's gonna give in to that.
Yeah, because you get rid of all the deductions, loopholes, special interest provisions, and you know, if you and I live next to each other and we both have about the same income, shouldn't we pay the same tax?
Yeah, you would think so, but I guess it depends on what you're interested in.
Nothing in Washington makes any sense. And so, by the way, when I talk to my friends and members of Congress in about a flat tax, it's like putting a cross in front of a vampire. They hate the idea, but America loves it. This is the ultimate. You want to drain the swamp? Let's have a flat tax.
Yeah, I love that. I have no opposition to that whatsoever. Last question before we
By the way, we probably would raise more money because mm-hmm. you know what? If the system is simple and fair and understandable, people will pay there is a lot of money that doesn't get paid in taxes, mainly because when we pay our taxes, we don't even know if we paid the right amount. We do our best.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. I'm like, here's the $86,000 you want from me. I don't know if this is right or wrong.
Yeah. You're just trying to do your best and you're just crossing your fingers and hoping they don't show up at your door. Last question before we let you go. Steve Moore with us right now. You are advising the Trump campaign. You have advised President Donald Trump. Who's the middle class better off under, Donald Trump or Joe Biden?
Oh, is that a trick question? Of course. I mean, under Trump, the median family income above inflation rose by $6,000. Under Biden, it's fallen by $2,500. So the middle class did much better. By the way, that's why if you look at the polling, Biden is doing really well with the very poor and the very rich. And who's Trump winning? He's winning the middle class, blue collar families.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a trick question, but for you, it's an easy one, which is why I asked you. Steve, happy tax day, if that's such a thing. Thanks for being with us today.
Too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care.
He's a distinguished fellow in economics at the Heritage Foundation and an economic advisor to Donald Trump. That's Steve Moore. author of the book GovZilla, How the Relentless Growth of Government is Devouring Our Economy and Our Freedom. I would imagine a flat tax would take some of that government growth off the table. And again, it would be more for the people, which is why I think that the people in power are probably not in favor of it. Quick break. When we come back, Mike Davis, he's the founder and president of Article 3 Project. He is a flamethrower. We love having him on the Annie Fry Show to get his take on the legal lawfare that is being thrown at Donald Trump on the Trump trial taking place today. Hush Money, Michael Cohen, Stormy Daniels. Check them all off your bingo card. Mike Davis and his thoughts on the Annie Fry Show in just a minute. Don't go away.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You know, the Trump's people would like to trivialize and diminish the meaning of this trial, but in fact, it's perfectly emblematic of the others that are out there. They're all about electoral interference and manipulation. They tried it with violence, and we're going to see that in the D.C. case. They tried it with fraud. We're going to see that in the Georgia case. And here, they tried it with payoffs and then cooking the books, financial manipulation. That's what it's about. It's a very serious case, and I think the Trump people are going to be shocked how tuned in America is to what's going on here.
I think somebody's going to be shocked, and I'm hoping at the end of all of this, it is Jamie Raskin, the congressman there, saying that Trump world is dead wrong. Well, let's get our friend Mike Davis on the show, founder and president of the Article 3 Project. And when it comes to the hush money trial that is starting today, according Mike Davis to your Twitter, you're saying that this is the Biden trial. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Give us your view. Jamie Raskin just was talking about how important and serious this case is in Manhattan against Donald Trump. How do you see what's taking place, what's starting today?
Well, I'm up here in New York City, and I was outside of the courthouse earlier today when the proceedings began, and there were hundreds of people out in front of the courthouse, but they were reporters. And this is a trash criminal case. It's a tabloid criminal case. You have a businessman settling a nuisance claim from 7 years ago. And that is, at best, a bookkeeping misdemeanor. And I don't even think it's a bookkeeping misdemeanor. But this Alvin Bragg, this Manhattan DA, this Soros-funded Manhattan DA, has taken what is at best a time-barred bookkeeping misdemeanor to settle a nuisance claim and somehow transform this into 34 felony counts 7 years later against a former president for the first time ever charging a former president. And that former president just happens to be the leading presidential candidate in an election year. This is obvious lawfare and election interference. The prior Manhattan DA, Cy Vance, the former Manhattan U.S. attorney, the Federal Election Commission, and Alvin Bragg himself declined to bring these bogus felony charges against Trump because it's a bogus theory. It wasn't until Matthew Colangelo got deployed from the number three office in the Biden Justice Department. Matthew Colangelo was a senior political appointee in the Biden Justice Department to resurrect this zombie case against President Trump. And they're before this Manhattan Democrat Judge Juan Merchan, who donated to Biden in 2020. He donated to another anti-Trump cause. And his adult daughter, Lauren Merchan, is a leading Democrat consultant and fundraiser who has raised almost $100 million off of this criminal prosecution over which her father is presiding. And so she has a direct financial stake in this. And a former Clinton federal judge in New York went on CNN on April 5th and said that Judge Merchan is legally conflicted under New York law and he must recuse from this case. He's refused to do it. When Trump raised this evidence of Judge Merchan's clear conflict of interest from his adult daughter's financial stake in this criminal prosecution, he responded by putting an illegal, unconstitutional gag order on President Trump. This is what you do in third world Marxist hellholes like Zimbabwe and North Korea and now New York, D.C. and Atlanta.
It seems, Mike Davis, that they've had to go through some significant legal gymnastics to even bring this case into the courtroom. The timing, the time frame, like what is actually being alleged that Donald Trump did, this is not the same as, but it reminds me of the fraud case that was taking place in New York, and you're trying to find out, like, who is the victim in this crime. I guess they're alleging that the American people are the victim, that this was somehow, that the hush money was somehow contrived to steal the election. But we're talking about the 2016 election. Why is it that all of the sudden, is there any reason that they would give, that Jamie Raskin would give, that this is important now in the 2024 election season?
Yeah, it's amazing. You have $30 million going from China and Russia and Ukraine, Kazakhstan, into every Biden family member's bank account, it seems, except for the five-year-old granddaughter who they finally claimed after years under political pressure. But you're going to go after Trump for, at best, settling a nuisance claim and then putting it in the books in 2017. And somehow they didn't put it in the books right, but that putting it in the books in 2017 somehow affected the 2016 election. It's just a bizarre legal theory that even the New York Times and the Washington Post said was absurd. But now that this is going to trial, of course, the New York Times and Washington Post will change their tune and say that this is the greatest criminal case and the most important criminal case in American history.
So on Twitter, you have a Biden trial fact sheet. And I think that a lot of us look at what's happening to Donald Trump as voters, as people who don't like the direction this country is going. Some of us are strong at Donald Trump and always have been Donald Trump supporters. Other people are so disenfranchised and disenchanted with the Biden administration that they might be up for voting for the guy they thought they'd never vote for. Why do you suggest that this goes squarely all the way to Joe Biden? What do you think is actually involved in the pressure to contrive these types of charges and do the legal gymnastics to get to where we are right now?
Well, Biden's fingerprints are directly on all four of these unprecedented criminal indictments of President Trump. Biden's prior rival in 2020 and his future rival in November of this year. It was Matthew Colangelo who got deployed from the Biden Justice Department. He was in the number three office, a senior political appointee there. He was the acting number three, and then he became the number two to the number three when Vanita Gupta, a hardcore leftist, got confirmed as the associate attorney general. Colangelo got deployed to Bragg's office to bring this first indictment ever against a former president, and they waited years to do this. This was misconduct, allegedly, from 2016-2017 time period, but it wasn't until Trump said he was running for election that all of a sudden these charges appear. You also have Nathan Waite, the dumb, unqualified boyfriend of Fulton County DA Fannie Willis, who billed his time to the Fulton County taxpayers and COVID funds for Nathan Waite's two meetings with the Biden White House, including the Biden White House counsel, 16 hours at $250 an hour before Fannie Willis, Big Fannie, brought her unprecedented indictment against President Trump for the non-crime of objecting to a presidential election, which is allowed by the Electoral Count Act of 1887 and the First Amendment. And then Jack Smith has two prosecutions, one for a former president having his presidential records in the office of former president, which is allowed under the Presidential Records Act, and another January 6th case. It was Biden Deputy White House Counsel Jonathan Suh on behalf of President Biden, who waived President Trump's claim of constitutional executive privilege going back 250 years that led to the unprecedented raid on the office of former president for presidential records he's allowed to have. Biden has his fingerprints on all four of these criminal cases. It was also Biden who pressured Merrick Garland to bring these cases, publicly pressuring him, putting political pressure on his attorney general to go after President Trump. And here we are during the middle of election season, you have these Democrat judges and Democrat prosecutors and Democrat juries in these Democrat hellholes of New York, D.C. and Atlanta trying to keep President Trump in a courtroom every day under the threat of going to jail, according to Judge Mershon, if Trump doesn't show up every day for this 8 week or more trial instead of on the campaign trail.
You know, Mike Davis speaking with us right now, the founder and president of the Article 3 Project. The way you've laid it out and the way America has watched this unfold, it's very obvious that this is a campaign strategy on Joe Biden's part, on the left's part. In your mind, last question before we let you go, and I would ask you to look at the whole lawfare landscape as Donald Trump is facing right now. What does justice truly look like at the end of all of this lawfare against Donald Trump?
When President Trump is put back into the White House, because the American people, not Democrat prosecutors and judges and juries and Democrat hellholes like New York, D.C., and Atlanta, are going to decide who's the president of the United States. We're not going to destroy democracy in the process. And when President Trump is back in office, his Justice Department must open a criminal probe on this obvious conspiracy to violate the civil rights of President Trump, his top aides, his lawyers, his supporters on January 6th. This is a criminal conspiracy to violate civil rights of political opponents and their supporters. This is election interference, and there must be consequences to this. These are republic-ending tactics by Biden and these Democrat prosecutors.
Should Donald Trump win, do you feel that he will do that?
He must. He must. It's the only way we are going to save this country. The Democrats have crossed the Rubicon. They only respect power. If we don't show them power, if there are not consequences for this clear, illegal criminal conspiracy to violate the civil rights of so many others, this conspiracy to interfere in the election, if there are not severe legal, financial, and political consequences, this will never end.
Mike Davis, we appreciate your time today on a very busy day for you in New York City surrounding that Donald Trump hush money trial that has commenced today. Thank you for being with us here. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Annie.
Of course. Mike Davis is the founder and president of the Article 3 Project. He's also the former chief counsel for nominations of the United States Senate Committee on the Judiciary. You can follow him on Twitter at MRDDMIA. And you can also connect with the Article 3 Project on Twitter and at article3project.org. I highly encourage you to do that. Grateful to have him out there, especially with his time spent outside the courtroom today. There's a lot of hubbub going around right now. Hopefully this doesn't come to St. Louis. I haven't heard anything that any of this is coming to St. Louis. But there are pro-Palestinian protests that are shutting down traffic in both San Francisco and New York City right now. They've shut down the Golden Gate Bridge. How do you handle something like that? What do you do? How do you handle that? I don't like this. I don't like the visual right now of bridges being flooded with people and cars, considering recent events. I don't like any of this. I don't know what's going on. Do we just suffer these protesters? What are we going to do? Go over and cause a ceasefire in the Middle East so that we can open our bridges again? I just really don't understand. Did you see, Brad, there was a woman. I cannot remember. I tweeted about it. I can find it here. There was a woman who went in front of, I think it was like a city council. I think it was in California, Southern California,
I remember,
maybe.
I know what you're talking about.
And at first blush, when I saw this, I just saw the video of her. I guess she was being arraigned or whatever.
Yeah, charged.
And she was very upset. She was crying. She was finding out that she's facing 16 charges. For threatening to murder public officials. She went to a city council meeting in Bakersfield. I think it's California. maybe not. If it's not, I'll correct myself here in the break. I'll get the specific details. But she goes and you didn't pull this, right?
No.
I didn't ask you to. She goes in front of the city council, and she wants a ceasefire resolution.
Yes.
From the Bakersfield City Council. You want to talk about self-aggrandizing? You go in front of a city council and you get your little video and you call for a ceasefire in the Middle East at the Bakersfield City Council meeting. But she goes, when she has this conversation, she refers to the city council as MFers. And then she talks about how she says something about bringing the guillotine because she wants to murder all of them. Like, it's, she speaks in explicitly clear language.
Right.
And then she comes back and she talks about the fact that she or they are going to come to their homes and essentially murder them. Well, she was arrested and held on $1 million bail and then had been charged with 16 felonies. So the first video I saw was just of her being arraigned. And she's wearing, you know, like a mauve brownish prison suit garb or whatever. She's not done up. She doesn't have any makeup on. She's got her hair pulled back in a low, you know, white scrunchy bun. And she's crying. I felt when I saw that, I initially thought, this is really sad. Whatever this woman did, she seems as though they have an FAFO up there. But she seemed as though, like, this moment, she's in front of a trial. And there are times where I will see people who are facing the music, and I don't, here's what I do. I pity them. There is an element of sadness that I have for them because they've made a choice to give up their freedom. They've made a choice that their life will never be the same, and it's on them. And I think that that is a sad story.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that I feel like we should take that sadness away from them.
Right. And they made that decision in a rational moment of emotional passion.
Maybe.
You know.
Or maybe they calculated it.
Well, that's possible too.
And I mean, like, I will still look at that person and think there are people who love them who have lost somebody because this individual has made really terrible decisions. And it impacts everyone. You know what it's like when you yourself make a really bad decision and it impacts other people. And nobody's going to jail. There are no crimes committed, but maybe you just made the wrong decision and it hurts yourself and it hurts the people around you. You want to take that decision back, but you can't. You have to figure out, what does it look like moving forward? How do I make the best of what's in front of me? And sometimes that involves court systems and 16 felony charges and jail time. So the first video I saw this woman and I had pity for her. And then when I watched her so arrogantly stand in front of these city council members and use her words to threaten murder to people on the Bakersfield City Council because they wouldn't effectively put forth the pro-Palestinian ceasefire that she wanted to see happen, I'm like, hope you learned your lesson.
Yeah.
Which is why I retweeted and said, "Ope." It was an FAFO. And if you don't know what that means, yeah, you're just going to have to Google it. It's the letters. Once you start, you're going to be like, oh. We have people who are so bold and brazen in what they're entitled to do for people to hear and see their message. Listen, if you go back to the civil rights movement, people had to be bold and brazen in order for us to get on the other side of the civil rights movement. I understand that. But shutting down the Golden Gate Bridge and backlogging the Golden Gate Bridge full of people and cars, I don't like it. I really don't like the way that looks right now. New York City and Manhattan, I almost asked Mike Davis and Steve Moore, because I think he's probably in New York right now too, if they had seen any of these protests disrupting everyday life. If you're on the bridge and you're stopping people who might need medical care, or somebody needs to get to somebody in time and they can't get there because you've determined that your cause is more important than everybody else's, I need consequences that deflect people from making those choices, whatever those might be. All right, we'll look into it a little bit more and we'll get back to you here on the other end of this break. And go vote in the YouTube live chat poll. Has Joe Biden done anything that is a net good in his presidency? Yes or no? And guys, if you are somebody out here who's like, Annie, that's the stupidest question ever. Of course he's done good things. I need some of your comments to fill in with all of these people who are saying no. I want to know if you like Joe Biden and you want to keep your Joe Biden, why you would want somebody else to vote for your Joe Biden. Erica says, I can't think of a single thing Joe Biden has done since he's been in office. He's the worst president in my lifetime, and I was born right before the Carter years. What do you say to it? Let us know on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. And get your vote in and your voice heard.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. The YouTube live chat poll, as Ryan was just saying, has Joe Biden done anything that is a net good in his presidency, yes or no? I came across this over the weekend, and UConn won the national championship, boys, this year. Once again, nobody was watching it, apparently. That's not true, nobody was watching it, but the more people watch the girls, you don't, it wasn't going to be a barn burner of a game. UConn was going to beat Purdue. I was thinking Indiana. I was thinking like, no, it's not Indiana because they're red. Pacers. Nope, that's not right. Just Purdue in general. They were going to lose. Everybody knew they were going to lose, but people wanted to see what happened in the girls' game. Obviously, Caitlin Clark was there, but it was going to be a more competitive game than the boys was. People understood that. UConn won last year as well. Is it Klingon? Is that how you say his name?
Couldn't tell you.
Donovan, I know how to say that one, from UConn, went last year to the White House because you win a championship. You can go to the White House. And we usually don't hear about these stories unless someone's like, I'm not going to the White House. Listen to him talk about the experience of being there with Joe Biden.
Last year, after we won a national championship, went to the White House, took a picture with Joe Biden, team picture. Joe Biden talked to us for about 3 minutes. Okay. And then right after that, he asked us for a picture again.
What did he say in that 3 minutes?
Yeah. Completely ignored Coach Hurley. Really couldn't understand what he was saying. And then he said, all right, let's grab a picture.
Yeah. I mean, wow. That's like totally believable. And if the reason why I highlight that, like, okay, maybe Joe Biden was trying to fend off World War III that day and he had to fit UConn and a photo in, and he was mentally in a million different places and he chose not to prioritize a photo op with the men's national championship NCAA basketball crew. Best construction that I can come up with right there. If Donald Trump had spent 3 minutes, 5 minutes with the national championship team and taken a picture with them, blathered on about something that they couldn't even understand, and then when he was done, asked, all right, let's take the picture, there would be doctors on all of the agenda-driven media news outlets. There would be doctors assessing the 25th Amendment of Donald Trump. That's not only would that have happened, that has happened. Yeah. Joe Biden is so not within himself. His mental faculties are so diminished that these type of things happen and everyone's like, yeah. And I think the most severe question we can ask ourselves is if Joe Biden isn't in charge, who is? Because again, if you don't know the people who are making the decisions, then that means that those people cannot be held accountable to the American people via vote or the American justice system or congressional hearings and testimony, because they're not the ones who are the face of the operation. The YouTube live chat poll for today, has Joe Biden done anything that is a net good in his presidency? Yes or no, Brad? This is what people in this industry say. What say you?
I
it drives me crazy.
I've run through a couple things in my brain that I thought, well, maybe. I was like, initially, Israel, his support for Israel. I was like, that was, oh, no, wait, he's wavering on that. So, no, I can't count that. And then somebody said the CHIPS Act. And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that's pretty good. But then we talked to somebody that says, well, these companies are not actually making factories and pulling out of factories in the U.S. because of DEI policies and the impossibility of trying to actually build it. So while well-intentioned, the execution on that hasn't been great. The infrastructure bill, I was like, okay, we need infrastructure. Well, some of the stuff that they're saying they're doing, it just hasn't been done. They spent a bunch of money, but there's no projects going on. I'm struggling. I mean, even like insulin, capping insulin prices, I'm not a big fan of the idea of telling manufacturers of a product how much they can charge for their product. And the problem with that is like at a pharmaceutical company, those profits that everybody's always railing against, those get rolled into R&D for new medicines and new technologies that it can use to help people. So I don't think that cutting the ability to research new things is actually going to end up being a net good for the initial. So I don't know. I got nothing. I got nothing. Maybe the cybersecurity thing that one of our listeners mentioned. I'm a no. I'm a no. I got nothing. No.
Ryan?
I'm trying really hard here because we've talked about this a little bit, and the CHIPS Act is one thing that I did kind of consider. But the one that I came back to, and this is very anecdotal, though, is that because inflation has been so bad, and the phrasing here is important. Has Joe Biden done anything that is a net good in his presidency? So even if he didn't intend to, has it caused a net good?
Yeah.
So because inflation has been really bad, and because the price of shipping and transportation has gotten so high, which are linked, from what I've heard, companies have considered not going to China as much. So if you follow my logic here,
considered it.
there's especially smaller companies are considering the cost of doing business overseas to be higher. Therefore, it's onshoring more. So that's a very long way around of saying that's the only thing I can really come up with.
It still costs a lot more money to do business here.
And so
I don't know that the fact that they can't build in China automatically assumes that they're like, okay, we'll stay here. It might mean that they don't do it at all. Like, do you have any examples of this?
No, that's why I said it's very anecdotal. Like, it's just things I've heard, but no.
I'd be curious to know of any of the places that you heard, because I don't see anybody saying, well, it's a lot better to do business or to set up shop in the United States. Like you were saying, we had on a guest who was talking about how, I think it was Samsung and Intel?
NVIDIA.
NVIDIA?
Mm-hmm.
They were going to, in Texas and maybe Ohio?
I think it was
Arizona and Ohio?
Yeah.
They were going to build factories here, and it's like, no, the policies that have been top-down implemented into this country, we're not doing that. And then they ended up doing business, was it in Israel and Russia or something
like
that?
Yeah, something odd like that.
Super calm places where you don't have to worry about anything bad happening around your business. But those are big businesses, not small businesses like Ryan was talking about. Let us know what you think on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. Has Joe Biden done anything that is a net good in his presidency? Terry says he has done nothing good or positive. He's trying to destroy America. That's a bold statement. Anybody disagree with it? You can go comment, and we'll feature your comment later in the show. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.